very coordinated with, hopefully, with the outcome of this sales tax to promote transportation throughout the county or other efforts that are done to promote development within activity centers along transit corridors. That bonus would not be allowed on the barrier island. And then the bonus gets higher for very low and low income, 4 market rate for every 1 low income, and then 6 to 1 if you're in an activity center or near a rail or transit stop. So I think that this has a chance of actually spurring some interest. I guess it would be something you'd have to just adopt and then see what happens, and you can always adjust it. And again, this would not be something just because in the county plan, the cities have to do this. This would be something that a city would have to allocate. This would just be something authorized by the county plan. So that's just about the Broward Next initiatives. Just trying to make the case that there's some carrots to go with some of the sticks we've been talking about, and that it's a large issue and needs to have a collaboration with many others.
Does anybody have any questions on that? Commissioner Gomez.
With the AH3 density, and I saw that it's a may count, it has for efficiencies, studio apartments, studio use,
right.
It's a may.
Right, that's to allow the municipalities to enforce that or not. It's not a,
to determine
it's not a requirement by the county plan. We're trying to prevent a developer coming to a municipality and saying, well, the county plan says it's a shall, you have to do this, and you have no authority to say no.
I'm sorry, is it the mandate for building it, or is it the mandate for counting it as there are people in that unit?
The mandate is the way you would treat that type of unit.
But if I grew up in New York City, so efficiencies are all over the place. They're full of people. So it means that there are people who are in their cars, they're using services like the water and the electric. So I don't understand the reasoning behind seeing it as a may counted as a density issue when it actually has people in it, which is a density.
Well, this was, we studied this several years ago and made a rationale that small units, I mean, some of them do have more than 1 or 2 people in it, that's true, but generally an efficiency or single room occupancy unit has 1 or 2 people in it. So that's a less of an impact usually on facilities and services. That would still have to be dealt with at the municipal level. It's not like you get a free pass. It's just for the purposes of your density, instead of saying that one efficiency counts as 1 full unit, you can have 2 efficiencies as counting as a full unit. Just for the purpose of density, nothing else. All the impacts still have to be considered.
Okay, thank you.
You still have to count the unit in your density. You're giving them the option to count as a half.
That's
going
correct.
Forward, that's all.
Correct.
Because it's a smaller area.
Yes.
So it's always been counted, so.
I'm just hoping it's not having 6 people living in it because of whatever.
You could have a 3-bedroom house with 12 people in it. And we can go back to my luxury tax here in a few minutes. Go ahead, Ms. Graham.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A couple things just real quick. You know, at one time, the ULDR for Fort Lauderdale actually had minimum lot sizes for building on, mm-hmm. and they actually had minimum square footage for buildings that had to be built. So it's nice to see that maybe they're shifting to a small is better, because that's happening all over the country. It's happening in Japan. Okay, here's my points now about what you just presented. It's a double-edged sword in Fort Lauderdale to be trying to add workforce housing or affordable housing, because our infrastructure has not been upkept and maintained like it should have. And only because you still live in Fort Lauderdale, so I presume you're hearing about all the things that we're wrestling with as to the infrastructure and the water and sewer. I mean, they're either going to do a bond deal, or they've already done a bond for the water and sewer, because we have to maintain what we've got. I don't even know if there is the capacity for the infrastructure to add on more units where they want to use them, especially if we take the flex units now. We no longer limit them to a small area of the city, but now it can be citywide, because if they already have something on the property and they demolish it and they build something newer, you still have to do the calculations and the impact fees or whatever else if you're increasing the density. That's one thing. As to the land bank issue, and I've been to the land bank conference that the community groups put on. I went to one in Detroit, and it's a good idea. It's just our land is so valuable that, you know, you're not going to get the same results like some of the municipalities and the legacy, old legacy cities are in the United States. But I had proposed the land banking for the stormwater issues, and I think we even had a workshop that had been held in one of the smaller rooms back in February, 3 or 4 years ago, because the whole idea of that is if there's nothing on the property or there was something and we take it down, at least we have it for stormwater drainage and percolation. So all of a sudden now we have, it's like a simultaneous equation with 4 or 5 or 6 variables, X, Y, Z, and A, B, and C, because it's not just a matter of adding the housing and increased density. We still have to deal with the stormwater and then have the services, water and sewer to provide to them. So I don't know if any of that is kind of getting worked into your presentation. Even if we had the funding to go ahead and put the units in Fort Lauderdale, do we have the capacity at the area? Somebody would have to study that in the Public Works Department in Fort Lauderdale. And I don't know if they could do that. And I don't know if they would necessarily be honest in the way they evaluate it, because Fort Lauderdale is desperate for the tax base increase. But at the same time, if we don't already have newer water and sewer infrastructure, or at least not so aged that it can't handle it. On the other hand, our CRA in Fort Lauderdale is getting audited right now. I mean, it was ordered a few months ago, and I don't know where they are, simply because this money that comes in from the taxes, they finally realized it's just not being spent wisely. I mean, the squandering of the tax money is just, it's eye-opening to say the least. So you got to be judicious with what you have, and if it's not your money, I don't think people are judicious.
I think the only thing I could say, I think that's related to what you're saying, is just to kind of echo what Barbara said earlier, is you can almost assume every recommendation we're making is going to have a provision that says subject to the availability of adequate public facilities and services. So there's nothing that we're saying or recommending that's going to just say, well, it says you could build housing here and who cares what the traffic or impacts on water and sewer are. That's not the case. And actually, maybe this was already said, is that when we had the ad hoc committee, there were draft implementation provisions. So you could see like how the bonus density, I'm showing you the formula, but there's also provisions that go with it that are taken basically from the existing one. But it's like saying, well, you can't like triple the density on a piece of property here or there. I mean, there's exemptions for activity centers, but there's a whole bunch of provisions, you know, like, you know, you have to have it restricted for 15 years, that type of thing. And, you know, you can't build all your market rate units and then, like, oh, I guess we didn't get around to those affordable units. You have to kind of build the affordable units before you finish the market rate units. So those kind of provisions are there, and I recommend that you take a look at that and give us some feedback on those particulars.
Mr. DiGiorgio?
Yes, thank you. Mr. Sneezak, I appreciate that presentation. Under age two, I think it's great that we're really thinking about modular units, going back to what our chair stated earlier, and the out-of-the-box thinking with the container units. We've seen them work all over the world. Mm-hmm. So again, it's just kind of a stigma to them. Monroe County is fighting this issue worse than we're fighting the issue, because the land that they have, and they're truly a service-based community,
right,
and they don't have the affordable housing. They've turned to a lot of these alternatives to help fill that gap. We need to start thinking out of the box like that, so I appreciate you putting that in there. Secondly, the other thing is really engaging the development community and working with them on the density bonuses, especially within the activity centers, I think is an excellent idea. I'm thinking by enabling them to be part of the solution and giving them an alternative to what they're already doing is really going to help this. Those are the types of thinking that I think engages the development community in a very positive way, so I applaud you for that.
And they've been very positive in responding and helping.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, a lot of the resource questions also get addressed at site plan review, too.
Right.
You can't build it if it isn't going to have the basic necessities, and cities then have to evaluate how much water could they supply, how many cars do they want on a road, and that becomes a local issue. But eventually, if you build an inferior product, it's not going to be successful. So to build something, you know, and it'll be done. I'm not saying it won't be done. It will be done. But people then have all of a sudden, a lot of affordable housing, because nobody will want to live there, and it'll become affordable. And that's the irony of that situation. Sir?
I just want to say thank you to Henry and Barbara. It's, Henry has said it a couple of times, but he says it real fast, that there are an awful lot of carrots involved in this process. And yeah, there are some sticks, and Henry and Ralph particularly know that on some of these stick portions, I get vocal on them. But what's great about this conversation, and that's why I said to the professionals that were here, they could stay for the conversation, is, and we keep talking about it, is that how do we get to where we need to be? And is it a project-by-project issue? Is it a block-by-block issue? Is it a city-by-city, or is it the regional issue? And I think that's really, and Ralph knows this, because he and I have had these conversations for years. I just find it frustrating when we try to say, this project is going to generate X. And in the scheme of things, it's the proverbial drop of water in the ocean. You know, as we keep saying, the number's now from 55 to 68. And when we politely try to, you know, extract X amount of 3 units out of a developer, is that, what are we really doing? Other than saying we're doing something, what are we really doing? And so I think it's wonderful to have the conversation, and it's important. But I think there needs to be more of an emphasis put on, and I don't normally say this, what's the government fix for the problem? Because this problem isn't going to be solved by the development community, a developer, or a project. And again, I'm not saying building bigger government, but the problem is to try to tackle this issue. They're one of the people that are equipped to do it. They have the professionals that deal with it. They know the markets well enough, not that other entities don't. Right. I'm just saying, maybe it's great for have 9 people who normally sit here on Tuesdays say what they say, but not go near the solution to the issue. Maybe it's time to say, hey, we need to create a development agency that does this, and that's what its mission is, and here's how we're going to fund it. There's been lots of conversation in the past few weeks about putting a one penny tax on the ballot, whether it's for transportation or infrastructure. And you have certain members of the county commission who turn around and take that conversation and turn it into an affordable housing conversation. Well, no, it's either a transportation penny or it's an infrastructure penny. It's not money to go to affordable housing or other things that this county says it wants to do but can't currently afford to do or properly allocate its resources to do. The question is, if we see the issue, what's the real solution and how do we get there? So I think it's potentially time, and I appreciate the land use issues, and you know I do, and we appreciate the carrots. That doesn't mean that if there's a stick out there, some of us have to occasionally pick up our head and question the stick. Ralph knows next month's meeting when he brings back the methodology.
We can have a
conversation. I may be on the losing side of that conversation. That's okay. But I also think the county commission, in a preview of where we're going to be next month, transmitted it knowing it was coming back here a second time and knowing the Broward Next project was going on. So wherever that conversation ends up. But I just want to say, I think we need to think bigger than we do when we see a project show up here and then try to do what we do within the confines of 1.0707.
Right. Add a drop to the bucket each time. That's the drops aren't adding up, so.
Not significantly enough that really you actually see water covering the bottom of the bucket.
Right. We're not even warm.
It's, yeah.
And again, the nice thing about CRA is it's tax incremental financing, meaning the change. So the county isn't losing anything. They get the same money they got last year. It's up above, which gets dedicated to the affordable housing or attainable housing component.
And Ralph just fell in the book. I couldn't believe I said what I said.
Yeah, there you go. That's okay. Any other comments? From the staff, any other comments or concerns?
So I guess I could wrap this up on a happy note and talk about the linkage fee. I've shortened it. I've already gone through some slides. I'm not going to show you because I think this group already knows, you know, why it was initiated. But just to give you a refresher on the main components and then where we are, the fee level. You know, I showed you this chart before, like the range. Ralph and I are recommending $1 per square foot right now, and that's what's going to be probably put in the draft that the county attorney is preparing. As far as exemptions and waivers, there's a provision in the draft. I've seen a draft. It's not like official yet, so that's why I can't share it with anybody yet, but they consulted with us. And you know, we're going to put a waiver in there for some things, but the county's going to have to identify a funding source for that. So that's a little hurdle that we still have to deal with budget over. And if you have, if the municipality wants to adopt its own linkage fee to retain the money within the city, as long as it's the same as or greater than the county's, that'll be a provision in there. That's your opt-out if you don't want to do it. At the county level, there's one city that has a linkage fee program right now. It's active. It's Coconut Creek. They'll be exempt from it because it's just, you know, they should be rewarded for what they've already done. So that'll be their distribution of revenues. Talked about options before. Right now, our recommendation is to have the money collected at the county level and be used so that it meets the rational nexus test. And then money would be collected at the environmental review process counter over Government Center West, just like any other impact fee. So where we are is, you know, December is when the County Commission officially initiated this. Since then, Ralph and I, including being at the Planning Council on December 17th, we've had outreach presentations with a number of groups, mostly like Chambers of Commerce people, real estate people. So you can imagine what kind of comments we received. And the ordinance now is officially with the County Attorney's Office. There, when they issue that, which I expect sometime shortly, we promise to hold a staff level workshop, so we will present it to, you know, we'll notify our interested parties list, including the Planning Council. We'll have a staff level workshop probably in this room or someplace like this, and get comments on the actual draft ordinance. And this will be back before the Planning Council. I guess the earliest that could happen is next month, probably not. June would probably be the earliest, but it may very well happen after the commission's summer break. So that still has to be worked out as far as the timing. But you would have a chance to review as a local planning agency. And we also have to have a county internal local planning agency review. So those will be two hearings before it goes to the county commission. So that's where we are right now as far as the linkage fee. Be happy to answer any questions.
So do you actually have two atoms of hydrogen and one of oxygen to make the drop to go in the bucket? Say we at least that does something there? I mean, the simple question is, I know you put in a dollar. Does that really get us anywhere? I mean, more than are we just saying we did something, it exists. Are we really accomplishing something with that amount? And I'm not saying I'm supporting the linkage tree. I'm just asking the question.
It would help a little bit, yes. I mean, in some ways we hear from both sides about this is a tax. How could you do this to us? On the other side, maybe we feel guilty we aren't recommending something a little higher to make it mean more. So we try to be balanced.
Understood.
Yes, ma'am. The other thing is the linkage fee could probably garner support if it's a small linkage fee, but then we need aggregate sources of the revenue, just like Mayor Sterner said. Whether it's, okay, if we can't do dock stamps, maybe it's something else, but maybe it's also a half penny sales tax. I mean, it can be small things, but when they all add up, we're going to have some money coming in, because once you have a couple of successful projects, it might then change the tide and people will support it. And maybe the economy will be better. Maybe the detriment effects that I'm thinking of may not happen. But I think that's something you can sell. I know it doesn't add up to the big millions that you need every year, but it's a start, because we'll still be in the same boat 2 or 3 years from now if we don't have the sources.
I guess one of the best ways, and I won't take Chair Blattner's podium on the infrastructure taxes, but let's say the infrastructure tax is put on the ballot in November, and let's say it passes. If I recall my numbers correctly, there would be for at least 30 years $139-140 million a year coming to Broward County to use for infrastructure, and how Broward County chooses to use that infrastructure is up to Broward County. So whether it's the transportation tax that the county has proposed sharing 70-30 with the cities, but those are more restrictive dollars for transportation and transportation related issues compared to the what is currently over 54% of the dais in Broward County have voted in favor of putting on the infrastructure tax, which would be split with the county as well. The county's share of the infrastructure tax would be about $139, $140 million a year to use for how it saw the use of infrastructure dollars, so.
Anything else? Any other business? Good?
For this item?
Yep, no, for anything.
We have two quick things.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Just a real quick.
Just, yeah, I'll be very quick with this. You have in your, I guess you were provided a brief legislative summary of the land use and related legislation. It was not one of the more active years. Minor changes in the DRI process. Some people might be interested in ag lands. There's a very wide definition of what is an agricultural activity, agritourism activity provided. For those near airports, there's been a little additional authority granted local governments as long as they're consistent with the FDOT provisions and FAA. And for public-private partnerships, which is a big push, there's a state law on it, which is almost incomprehensible, and the legislature decided to also allow cities, this was a nice thing they did, to develop their own types of partnerships without complying with the state law. So you see, if anyone has any questions on them, you can contact me. I'd be happy to give you more information, but nothing really earth-shaking this session.
Thank you.
And just in your backup materials, I have a review of the Charter Review Commission and the subcommittee structure. So I'll continue to keep you all posted on that and what occurs. Mayor Sturmer, at the minimum, is going to join me at Tuesday's Infrastructure Committee, and Mr. McColgan just let me know that he's also going to attend that meeting. I'll send out a summary afterwards. And then also, we just talked about a tentative Broward Next public hearing schedule and discussion, and I will send more information out in an email so that all the members can be privy to that. And I'm going to be sending out some of the other information that you asked for at the meeting.
Thank you. Anything else? Seeing none, we stand adjourned. Thank you, everybody.